Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an ergat fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Do you have a 401k, an IRA? You're thinking, should I sell this? I've got all this fiat stuff in it. Should I sell it for Bitcoin, take the tax hit? If you're thinking that, you don't have to. You can roll it over into an Unchained IRA where you hold two or three keys. If you're looking to hold Bitcoin in a tax-advantaged retirement account, think about rolling over into an Unchained IRA. Go to unchained.com/RHR. Check it out. Set up a call with their concierge onboarding team. Sign up for their signature account. You'll get white glove service throughout your journey. Unchained.com/RHR. Okay. This rip is brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. If you have friends, family members who are newbies, they still have their Bitcoin in the exchange, help them take the first step off the exchange. BitKey makes it very easy. It's a hardware device that has a multi-sig. The hardware device has a key. Your mobile phone app has a key. And Block has a key in the cloud. They've designed this with trade-offs to make it very hard to lose Bitcoin. Easy to use, hard to lose. Go to bitkey.world. Use the code RHR or RHR20 at checkout to get a discount. Not sure exactly which one it is yet. Try both. Go check it out. bitkey.world. Try RHR or RHR20. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Woo, early morning Friday rip. Come by.
You see what the name is?
Let me see. Eric Trump is on the board of advisors at
Meta. That's not the reference. Why would that be 23 days later?
Oh wait, no, I didn't read it yet. Rabbit hole recap: 23 days later with Adele, Marty Bent, and Phil Worthy.
Do you know what the reference is?
February 28th.
This guy, Ben Weirman, on Noster, surfaced this tool that you can put in an RSS feed, and it tells you the full duration of the back catalog. And if you listen to RHR from the very beginning, nonstop, it would be 23 days worth of just constant us just talking.
So if you've listened to every RHR episode that's ever existed, there are some crazy people out there that have done that. We've been in your ear.
Carlos is listening to the full Carlos listening to the full back catalog.
23 days of your life with us. Thank you. That's crazy. 23 days.
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, here we are to add more time on our march towards 24 days here. Early Friday morning. Yeah.
We're both tired. I got in late last night from a work trip. It's early. We're grinding, but we're here to talk about stuff. A lot going on. Colin, thank you for joining us.
Phil.
Why did I say Colin?
Also Phil, yes.
You know, you want to know why?
I was like,
you
oh know shit, why? Is there Colin on here too?
No, you want to know why I said that? It's because I had a dream and you were in it, Odell. You were debating somebody from my high school who has nothing to do with Bitcoin about, and his name's Colin, about CTV, check, template, verify. You two are debating.
That's when you know it's been 23 days.
I've had it in my mind to bring it up too, as I had a dream that you were in it debating about soft forks with somebody from my high school.
when you're dreaming about soft forks and your co-host, you should probably take a break. But anyway, we got Phil here, ride or die freak.
I'm sorry for calling you Colin, Phil. I've had Colin in my
mind. Best friends have always called me Colin.
I'm on a road trip with Phil, and he owns a Tesla and he's a ride or die freak, so I asked him to join us.
Has anybody wiped their ass on your car yet, Phil?
So I live in a liberal enclave and am frequently both flipped off, thumbs down. I had
is this serious?
Three. Oh yeah. I would say on average, and I'm not driving a ton, but on average 4 or 5 times a day. The other day I had somebody, this is the third time this has happened, stick their hand out the window to make sure that I understood that they thought that I had a small dick.
Hey, it's the wizard, not the wand, freaks.
That's right. I had a woman in her 60s accost me the other day as I was getting out of the Cybertruck. The interesting thing is, like, this is the I have another Tesla, which I drive occasionally. No one is any bit the wiser. I never get flipped off in the Model Y. So it's just the audacity of driving that kind of steel tin box that is really upsetting the liberals right now.
It's a great car.
This is in Nashville, to be clear.
It's perplexing. And it's on a more serious note, it's the wizard, not the wand. Don't ever let anybody think anything else. But on a more serious note than that, I tweeted about it and wrote something on, I wrote a note on Noster about it earlier this week and wrote a newsletter last night that dropped this morning, that like this rise of Luigi populism, which is completely
Luigi populism. Did you get the domain first before you wrote that?
I did not. Check it. See if it freaks. Somebody buy it for us and we'll pay you a little premium. But Luigi.
I like that term.
Luigi populism. And I think this Tesla backlash is an outgrowth of that. And it's completely uninformed, misdirected ire towards the rich.
Before we continue, I just want to push back. I think if you have a micro penis, you're fucked. I don't think there's anything you can do.
There's a difference between like a micro penis is like we're talking like
people have them supposedly. Yeah. Like they exist.
And this counts.
You got to figure out some other way to compensate for that. Like I think you're probably fucked. I'm sorry. You got dealt a bad set of hands.
There's a ton of micropene freaks out there saying, ha, you think that's the case, but you should see.
I mean, I hope you've been stacking hard at least.
Probably very high achievers.
Probably very funny.
But back to the Luigi populism. I just don't want fake news being spread on our show. We've been doing this for 23 days. It's pretty crazy. Like you have the Trump assassination attempts. Both of those Trump assassination attempts is crazy as fucking thing. Like they just I mean, no one really talks about them anymore. Nobody the talks. Guy, like, where is, where's the second guy?
I think he's in jail. They got him.
Yeah, he's in prison somewhere.
Then you have obviously Luigi killing the United Healthcare CEO and a bunch of people cheering it on. You have the Tesla attacks, right? Both on dealerships, but also on individuals. And a lot of them are
liberals,
you know, like card carrying liberals that they're fucking up with. And by the way, they're like choosing to protest. They're choosing to attack fucking cars. The only cars on the market that have surveillance systems built into them with like the fucking sentry mode. So at first I thought it was like my like PSYOP mind was like getting triggered. I was like, oh, there's like a couple people doing it. But I actually like rode into Cybertruck and like people were fucking flipping us off in Nashville. And also like the people like applauding on
Jimmy Kimmel and
The Daily Show or whatever. It was like fucking crazy. And then also the other thing is all the there's so many fucking influencers on X getting swatted right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Here in Austin.
I feel like there's more division than there's ever been. It's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy times. And I don't know. You know, people might think of me as like an Elon hater, but like this just makes me want to support Teslas and Elon for like the first time in a big way.
Same. Same. I'm about to go buy one.
There's a very easy pathway to me or people like me having reserved the Cybertruck 5 years ago. Elon was firmly implanted in the left at that time. And let's say I move forward and keep my head in the sand and am still a bleeding heart liberal. This behavior from other liberals would very likely make me reconsider said position. Getting flipped off five times a day for the first couple of days, the first couple of weeks, you're able to just be like, oh yeah, whatever. But after months, it's like, shit, I need to find some other Cybertrucks in my neighborhood and start like a little group where we can commiserate with one another for, you know, you're taking your dogs to the dog park and you're just getting, you have a smile on your face until you get there and you've just been, you know, yelled at by an old woman or an old man or all white people, all in Subarus. It's 100% across the board. Occasionally you'll get a Prius in there, but it is all white people.
You should just take it to the next, lean into it, put a turret in the back, and just ride around town with a turret in your Cybertruck.
There's an AR in the frunk.
In the frunk.
It's it really is insane. Yeah. I mean, and I wrote about this last night again, Luigi populism. It's really funny how this confluence of memes is happening right now. Like earlier this week, we had Secretary Bissent on the media doing the media rounds last weekend, and he brought out the phrase "let them eat flat screens," which is an homage to what happened in the French Revolution, which let them eat cake, obviously. And it's like that's what legitimately starting to get worried. There's like a French Revolution like fervor building amongst a lot of the uneducated American liberals out there.
Mandibles.
And it's a big problem. And what are they mad at Elon for? Literally going into the government and highlighting, hey, these people are stealing your tax dollars and giving it to themselves. I'm here to make sure that the government is running efficiently and not wasting your money. And the kvetching and the literal violence that has come out of this is shocking. And
well, it's interesting, right? Because, I mean, we've seen a rise in populism on the right as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Trump is a populist. It's just...
Yeah, Trump's whole movement's populist.
No, but I'm not both sizing it. It's actually... It's kind of interesting because this is kind of now we're seeing a rise of populism on the left as well. Just like a very anti-rich kind of sentiment.
Well, I think that's been around for sentiment. A while. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like since Bernie too, but like then they also became like the party of like fucking big business, which is, you know, they like burned Bernie and then leaned in harder on big business and like the far left woke stuff and kind of pushed away from the populism. But I guess they also had BLM, quote unquote, peaceful protests and shit. So maybe it's not that new of a phenomenon. The other piece was the fucking website that just lists people's home addresses.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't see if I'm on that or not.
You're what's probably it called? On that.
Like, how do they get that information? Number one, is there a data leak at Tesla?
No, supposedly it's, that was like, you know, my immediate reaction was like, I'm always like anti-Tesla surveillance and stuff. I'm like, oh, they fucking had God mode compromised. It's just your public registration. Like, if you register your car, it's in fucking state databases. It's just out there for someone to scrape. So presumably they could do it for like Toyota owners or whatever, if they wanted to. But like the website was legit calling for harm against people. And like, I hate to be the downer here, but like, they're going to have a website like that about Bitcoiners. Like that's going to happen.
It's going to be harder to produce, right? I would imagine.
It'll be a little bit harder to produce, but like, we have all these Bitcoin companies are keeping lists of Bitcoiners, our transaction history, and our addresses. So it's not as public as car registration, but it's out there.
It is out there. It's bad.
Like, it won't be as comprehensive or as accurate, but like, I don't think accuracy, I don't think the Luigi populace care about accuracy when they're like, burn the Bitcoiners because our economy's going to the shitter and Bitcoin's fucking doing great.
And they are getting warmed up on their mental gymnastics right now to validate their feelings around that.
And that's why we're here. That's why we come to the show. Any of you Luigi populists that have joined us, let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. Let's put your Molotov cocktail down and have a one-way conversation, because you can't speak to us unless you're in the live chat. we're going to put forth.
Dude, the Noster stream is down. I don't know if you noticed.
I did. Kieran.
No, Kieran got hacked.
What?
It's been down all week.
There's 11 people really missing this.
way more than that, Phil.
Phil is a self-hating Noster user. He's actually quite active on Noster.
I'm watching the Noster stream right now.
Is it live?
In the chat.
Oh, we are live.
Weird. It said, wait, Karen. What? Then what the fuck am I watching?
well, then also, shout out to Satch.gg. They gave a presentation
good job, Kieran. Thank you for getting us live.
At Builder Day last week here in Austin. So that's a fallback option that we should probably start pointing to as well.
What is it? I don't want to point to a bunch of different shit.
Sats.gg.
We're going to launch Primal Video too.
Oh, yeah. back to the point, though. Any Luigi populace listening to this? I feel you. Things are tough out there. The economy's not as great as it could be. Logan, pull it up. The newsletter last night. This discomfort that you're feeling, the stress that you're feeling, it's not late-stage capitalism. It's late-stage fiat. This is what happens when you destroy the money. We had a perfect example, anecdotal data point that we are in the later stages of fiat decay. Yesterday, alluded to it earlier, but I think that was the big story on X, at least, is DoorDash announced a partnership with Klarna to allow their customers to buy now, pay later for fast food delivery, which is
insane. How does that work?
$4 installments over 4 months.
But like, there's no interest, right? So how does how do they make money?
I had the same question, Matt, and I went on the LLMs last night. I said, how does Klarna make money?
Oh, is it delinquencies?
Most of their money is made. They do buy now, pay later for bigger goods like couches, fridges. And they make money on the interest on that, but also they get like a 5% kickback from the from the merchant. So they basically take on the credit risk for the merchants, and then the merchants pay them 5% for taking on that credit risk. And then they go,
there's a fair amount of default in
no, yeah, well, but that's, it, yeah, that's what, does it pop up to like 20% or something if you stop paying your burrito payments?
Oh, it's already $29.99 for the longer term.
What do you mean?
It's like 21% interest for the 21.99% interest, I believe, for the longer term.
I thought it was no interest burrito payments.
Logan, pull it back up. It is no interest burrito payments because it's shorter term. They're like, all right. And I think it's an outgrowth of this. What you're looking at on the screen right now, if you're not looking at the screen, what you're seeing is a chart with two lines going up and to the right. And these are the charge-off rates at Capital One and Discover. And for anybody who's unaware of, a charge-off rate is basically the rate, the percentage of the overall outstanding balances that credit card companies have with their customers that the company doesn't think is going to get paid back. Essentially delinquent to an extent where the credit card companies are writing it off. We're not going to be able to collect these balances. And so right now it's reaching levels not seen since the years leading up to 2008 and immediately after. And so I think what we're seeing with Klarna and DoorDash is an outgrowth of this. I imagine they're seeing similar charge-off rates with their longer duration loans, and so they're moving down market to smaller ticket, shorter loans.
They're also going to, let's say, McDonald's or Chipotle or whoever, and they're saying, hey, look, like a lot of your customer base are people who are probably living paycheck to paycheck, and they're going to be able to buy that burrito that they don't have the capital for right now. I mean, you're doing, if you have a negative balance in your account, you have a $5 balance in your account. And so we're going to bring you more conversions. And that's why Klarna is able to do it at a 0% and get that 5% kickback.
Agree. You have a asset liability mismatch on behalf of the client who's living paycheck to paycheck. And so it's essentially a payday loan for food. With no interest rate.
But payday loans have a heavy interest, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, this is how it's being marketed. Hey, we're the payday loan with no interest here.
They're here for the people.
It's interesting. All of those credit charts in default and in delinquency are now above the 2008 levels. And so part of the kind of interesting piece about that is you're now having Chase and Discover and B of A and all of these creditors. They're super sue happy right now because the CFPB has been mostly nerfed by Trump, and so has the FDCPA. So they don't have the claws or the teeth to then go after and the media support to go after these big creditors and make their life hell for going after these delinquent debts. So like in 2011, 2012, you had still a ton of foreclosures. You had a bunch of credit card delinquencies that were being clawed back, but the entire media complex went against those creditors. And so you saw Chase stop suing on credit card debt that was under 30K. You saw B of A stop suing completely on credit card debt. And so those have really piled up, and now they're going after all those delinquent payments.
Yeah. It's not good. And again, going back to the Luigi populace that we're talking about, this is a bad situation. We should not have to live in a society where people have to take a payday loan to get soy slopped instantly delivered to their house. That is like it's funny, going back to Besant, the economy should not be let them eat flat screens. It's like, we're at the point where it's like, let them eat instantly delivered soy slop by taking out a payday loan.
Well, Look, I mean, I definitely sympathize with people that are hurting. And don't take this the wrong way and Luigi populist me, but like if you're hurting, like you shouldn't be ordering DoorDash. Like DoorDash is a luxury good. It is clearly one of the most expensive ways to consume food, period. There are much cheaper alternatives like cooking for yourself. So
go back, buy a bag of rice and some eggs. That. I agree. But we live in a high velocity trash economy, Matthew. People
like I think there's a lot of like a lot of people like people that parrot the like millennials are fucked because they eat $18 avocado toast is like a complete straw man and they can go fuck themselves. But this does kind of feel like that or what they mean by that. It's like, okay, like you're hurting, but you're spending a shit ton of fucking money on DoorDash. Like maybe you shouldn't do that.
I took a year in between careers and managed properties and rented out cars. And then maybe 5 hours a week, I would drive Lyft and do like their premium version, whatever that was, Lyft Lux, let's say. And I thought it was super telling that very often I would pick someone up in a Lyft Lux that was two times the price of a Lyft, right? I would drive them to their hourly wage job so that they could pick up their paycheck and then take them back home. This would be a $50 two-way trip that, you know, was, let's say 15, 20 minutes. And they're picking up a paycheck for $600-$700. That's how crazy a lot of this is.
I think a lot of it is because like we just don't teach any kind of financial responsibility. Like most people have no idea about any kind of real financial planning. I think part of it is people not taking personal responsibility. And there shouldn't be like so many excuses made for them. But another part of it is that people are just not financially competent, right? Like they just don't understand how to save or invest or like, what do they teach in schools? They just teach compliance with the state. Debt slavery. Yeah.
Sure. But it doesn't happen in other first world civilizations. You don't have people in Europe who are living on a credit-based system, really, like retail credit base. You don't have people in Japan who are completely fiscally irresponsible. And
so why is that?
The consumerism,
trash economy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is, again, going back to let them eat flat screen, I think there is a perception, and maybe we'll, you said it was a straw man, but let's use millennials and Gen Z as an example. I mean, we were all taught like
you avocado toast thing is a straw man.
I know, but
how many millennials do you know that eat $18 avocado toast?
It's
a lot.
In New York, that was the thing. We both lived there. We saw it up close and personal. It was happening, Matt. It was happening. We were there, but we were sold this dream: go to college, get your degree, go into hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, go into the economy, and you'll climb the ladder. And I think many people out there, whether they can afford it or not, they check those boxes. They're like, I should be able to do this. And there's a tinge of nihilism in it as well. Nihilism, however you want to pronounce it, that exists at that layer.
Yeah.
Where it's, the nihilism creeps in, where it's like, I checked the boxes. Like I'm going to fucking order this DoorDash. Like I deserve it.
That's a good point.
You sort of have this cognitive dissonance which just completely ignores what's in their bank account. They're like, I'll figure it out later.
Well, I think as an early adult starting in the hole because of the entrenched marketing that is our college system, right? You have multiple generations of marketing telling you the only way you can make it is to go to college and get a degree. Your grandparents are telling your parents that, your parents are telling you that. And for them, it really was true. Then, yeah, if you're already negative 200K, what's putting a burrito on Klarna?
Well, first of all, shout out Mab21. I'm looking at the Zap Stream live chat now. He's zapped 21,000 sats. Appreciate wow. you, Mav. Ride or die freak. I'm going to use that in DoorDash.
don't need
is there an argument? Is there an argument for us? Like, if we're going to order on DoorDash anyway, is it financial? It's more financially responsible for us to do zero interest in stack sats, right?
Yes.
Eh. I don't know.
It's like, what you can get a Bitcoin backed loan for 15% on Unchained, or
well, I mean, just to the short term nature. Anyway, like, who knows? I might as well. We could go down. We could chop solidate for the next 3 months, and by the time it's
but due. Shouldn't you just always take 0% if you get offered 0%? Like, I put a new HVAC in, I'm going to be paying it off for 4 years at zero. Like, yep. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. Just the mental math of doing it for it's like a Wells fucking Fargo. DoorDash order.
Wells Fargo thinks I'm going to go delinquent and they're going to get to charge me 30%, but fuck them. I have it on autopay.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I'm just going to buy Bitcoin the way I always have and not add the mental math of the mental sort of transaction of thinking about my payday.
You're the Dave Ramsey in the room.
Klarna has autopay, right?
Yeah. Klarna has autopay.
Just slap that burrito on autopay.
It's look at what we're debating right now. This is insane, and it's gotten to this point in America. And back to the point, like to the Luigi populace that have tuned in for this incredible analysis of the week that was.
It doesn't have to be this populace, way. You're probably watching on YouTube. Slap that like button
and subscribe. This is because the money's broken. It's not because Elon is out there. Making the government more efficient. It's not because CEOs are making obscene salaries and pricing things the wrong way. All of that is an outgrowth, whether it's Elon is doing what he's doing at Doge to make efficiencies because the government is wasting our money because they have a big money button that they can hit and print money and throw it at they want. And the Trump administration, and I thank them for this, has recognized that there's a lot of waste and grift and fraud going on, and they're trying to surface it and highlight it. How much are they actually cutting? Who knows? But I think the intent is admirable at the very least. United Health CEO Luigi popped. Not a big fan of health insurance, not a big fan of the pricing that exists there, not a big fan of how they treat their end customers, but that is an outgrowth of easy money. The healthcare system has been.
Yeah, and you shouldn't subsidized. Murder the CEO over it.
Yes, you shouldn't murder anybody. That is a mortal sin. You will go to hell. But like, these are people you're swiping at branches where the core of the problem is the money, and you're identifying this problem as a political problem, as a class warfare problem, but it all distills back to the money problem. When you can hit the button to print more money, it leads to this outgrowth and these externalities and this misallocation of capital that puts us in this position where you have to get a payday loan to buy a burrito.
Paulie zapped us 42,000 sats.
Thanks, Paul.
I'm going to use that to pay for my burrito over time. He also asked us to talk about Bitcoin, but I know Phil really wants to talk about the pyramids.
Oh, Phil, what are we thinking? PSYOP?
Or legit? No, absolutely not. I think it's legit.
I did too.
I did just a bit of research this morning on kind of that SAR technology, which I guess is they're measuring the micro movements using, is it LIDAR? It may be radar. Yes. Under the sand, and they're doing it from.
SAR is like it's sound based, right? They were like looking for.
Okay, so it's radar then, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all in on this. The pyramids are power facilities. I've been a big believer of this for quite a while, and now we have some evidence, and I think we need to go explore it. Like, and the Egyptologists are gatekeeping the ability to go explore under the pyramids. And I think if the UN and NATO has any value, this is the thing we focus on. We go in, you create a perimeter around the pyramids.
You want to do a military occupation?
I think we need a military occupation of the pyramids to see what's going on underneath them. We got people taking payday loans out for fucking burritos. I think we're going to find some information on the pyramids that help solve the problems. We need to tap into this ancient knowledge that existed there. There were civilizations that were very advanced before us, maybe more advanced. And I think there's
more advanced in a ton of ways. Yeah, very clearly. Energy manipulation, definitely.
Agree. We need to figure out what they were doing.
And these civilizations spread across the entire world. I mean, Egypt is not the only, it's not just Egyptologists. This is archaeologists at large that are gatekeeping.
Yeah, I fell down a rabbit hole. I was on this trip and I was in my hotel room, Atlantis, in West Africa, where they have the concentric mm-hmm. circles. That was the capital of Atlantis, Atlantia.
Maybe. Yeah. But it sounds like that's the most likely spot.
Yeah. Plato talked about it. Yeah. I think there's something there. I'm all in on it. We need a military perimeter. Maybe we find some allies in the Middle East who are down to go do this as well. And so we make like a bipartisan military block off and let the archaeologists, these Italian and British or Scottish, I believe, researchers who dropped this paper. Let's let them go under.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say we should not have a military occupation of the pyramids.
Shout out to Graham Hancock, who's been doing this work very publicly for the last 30 years and has been smeared like crazy from the archaeology industrial complex.
Yeah. Young and dry. What happened?
How does this relate to Bitcoin?
We need cheaper energy to mine Bitcoin. Yeah. You see where hash price is right now, sir?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we tie it in. We're a robot.
It makes our earlier conversation seem extremely relevant to Bitcoin in comparison. Phil asked me, we were on the road last night. He was like, what are you going to talk about on RHR tomorrow? And I was like, what should we talk about? He's like, you got to talk about the pyramids. So are aliens involved in this or?
Could be.
Yeah. My vote is yes. I think that the ancient Sumerian origin story is the most likely for me.
But just to be clear here to the freaks that are not like plugged into the Matrix, some guy
to the ones that are plugged into the Matrix, we are plugged. We are unplugged. They are plugged in.
Well, I mean, like X is kind of the Matrix. Anyway, some guy did a scan, right? And they think there's these columns underneath the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Eight columns to be exact. And they're seem to be columns. Plugged in.
They go like 2 kilometers down or something, right?
Yeah.
They seem to be plugged in. You just sound crazy. I mean, it might be true. It just sounds crazy.
And they have like coils going up them.
Could be staircases.
They think it's a staircase to the library, right?
The library of Atlantis not Alexandria of Atlantis. Is one theory. The other is that it's like coils similar to Tesla coils that are harnessing energy from deep within under the Earth's surface. And that is always something that I was, I always lean towards in terms of the Great Pyramid theory is that they were power facilities. Cause it at the level at which you can explore the way the tunnels are set up, it's like a very much like a power facility. And now we have evidence that there was something under it.
So basically the theory is that there was some very advanced civilization, like way, way, way back, that may or may not have been seeded by aliens. And then
Which, by the way, don't call them UAPs. Like, that's a fucking psyop. Like, everyone's just, like, pretending like we've always called them UAPs.
Well,
like,
UAPs are the unexplained blah, blah, blah.
Aerial phenomena.
Yeah.
NHIs. What people are calling aliens.
They woke up and told you to say UAP, and everyone's just saying UAPs now. Like, when I grew up, they were UFOs. And before that, they're just aliens. Yeah, but anyway.
We had Oriental chicken salad there when I was growing up. Now it's Asian chicken salad.
No, that's what they took from us. So we had this super advanced civilization. And then basically the Egyptians like just moved into it later and like buried themselves in it and shit, right? Like they just kind of took credit for it. They like woke up and...
Yeah, and that's
and we were made to believe that there was slaves that built the pyramids. They carried
they were
4-ton blocks and stacked them up.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah,
that
doesn't. Or rolling it on logs or something across 500 miles in a mountain range. Yeah, it's they clearly had energy manipulation. That is the only way that they would have been able to even cut those blocks, which are all perfectly cut. And then move them.
Phil, you're speaking my language right now. It's like we were taught to believe. We were taught to believe like there were like slaves like dragging these blocks and stacking them on the pyramid. And
yeah, there's no shot that happened.
Many of those we could not move today with our best cranes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Younger Dryas makes, I think, the most sense.
And then the one, I mean, I go back and listen to this once every year, which is the Randall Carlson, Graham Hancock episode of Rogan from many years ago, where they took the drones, the aerial views of Washington State, and you can see like the ripples across the land. Like it looks like it's a beach, but it's going across hundreds of miles of land. So the theory of the Younger Dryas is that a meteor hit probably somewhere north of Canada, and that's what like created the great flood that's talked about across all these religions, and you had very advanced civilizations wiped out due to a meteor hitting the earth. And if you freaks are not aware of this, you gotta get on your game.
And it sounds like a lot of the survival technique was known at that time was just to create a very intricate series of underground societies that would persevere through these great floods and other catastrophes. And they've supposedly found many of these, and potentially the Smithsonian has covered up quite a few here in the US anyway.
Yeah. And all the elite pedophiles have taken over the tunnels now.
The ones in LA.
Yeah, the Getty Museum. Look up the Getty Museum. They got remote viewers there too. We're getting deep into Marty Jones is coming out right now.
Oh yeah, what's your opinion on remote viewing, Phil? I feel like
I'm all in
on
remote viewing. Yeah. All in, and I think that the telepathy tapes should start a lot more people down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to telepathy tapes, go. It's pretty insane.
This is, by the way, exactly what I expected. This is like stepbrothers, like are we best friends kind of thing going on over here. The two of you.
What's up, Phil? I might have to meet you guys on your road trip just to talk about this stuff for 8 hours.
Yeah. Do you have space in the truck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
RHR plus Colin.
It's early, Phil. I was in the Uber here. Like I had to remember because it's dreams. Number one, you don't always remember your dreams until you start taking magnesium. I started rubbing magnesium cream on my feet every night like 6 months ago, and I can actually remember my dreams. And on the Uber in, I was like, I had a dream about Matt debating CTV with some kid from my high school. I had to bring it up.
Wait, can you go deeper on this magnesium cream?
Yeah, it's magnesium L-arginate, I believe.
I want to remember my dreams.
My wife, I started taking it to knock me out. Rub it on your feet.
You right rub it on bed. Your feet. Yeah.
Yeah. Rub it on your feet before bed and then it knocks you out and you sleep for like 8 hours and have good dreams and can remember them.
Okay. I'm going to try this.
Yeah. Back to Bitcoin though. I think we should cover something that's going on.
Live chat are like, what the fuck? I just want to say, freaks, my wife what is remote viewing?
You freaks are so out of the loop. You got to get up on this. Come on, remote viewing.
My wife is letting me know that our son really enjoyed the pyramid conversation. So not everything's about you.
Remote viewing is the ability to basically telepathically see what is happening somewhere where you are not. I think that's the most simple way I can put that. And you can actually, the theory with the Getty Museum is that there's tunnels under LA that that go to the Getty Museum, and there's a lot of nefarious things happening under there. And people have tried in the past to basically go and stop the people from doing the bad things, but they have remote viewers. There's like remote viewer wars that happen where people are trying to like remote view into remote the Getty Museum, and they have remote viewer guards who are like, no, get out of here. And yeah,
I don't know about that.
Oh, wow. We've got there's some freaks out there who will listen to this, and they can send some links.
I mean, that sounds like bullshit to me, but
hey,
is there any proof?
If you would have told me 10 years ago that people are going to need payday loans for Uber Eats, I would have told you were crazy. Okay.
Yeah, there's provable ways to test remote viewing, and the CIA has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on remote viewing.
Yeah,
freaks, we've been doing this for 23 days. Like, this episode just doesn't have to have anything directly to do with Bitcoin. It's fine.
We do have a Bitcoin thing after this, but what was the movie with George Clooney? Don't,
because I want to talk about the JFK files.
Men See Goats or whatever.
Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah. That was like, that's like Hollywood telling you. Yeah, it's about remote viewing and telepathy. And they were telling you, like, Hollywood is, if they are Luciferian Satanists, part of their religion is they have to be overt with what they're doing to you. And they use Hollywood to say, we're doing this. Men Who Stare at Goats is.
I think I watched that movie.
Yeah.
They like they would kill the goats, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was about like.
Yeah, they would just topple telepathy. Over. Yeah.
I don't know what your Bitcoin topic is, but I want to talk about the JFK files.
All right, let's go. We'll end on the Bitcoin topic because it is important. It's what Callie's been working on. I think it's about the tech.
What? Tapcash?
Yeah, Tapcash.
Let's talk about Tapcash. Tapcash is dope.
Yeah. So tap to
I'll
pay.
I'll take a nap.
Come on, Phil. We need this to be able to get the answers.
Callie, you know, Callie vibe coded this into existence.
He did?
Yeah, Cali plus AI is a force to be reckoned with.
Love to see it. So this is something. There's been a major one. We've seen it come to market in the form of cards, LNURL, and Zeus has implemented it too. This ability to tap to pay for Bitcoin. I think this is when we talk about Bitcoin competing with alternative payment methods. I think tap to pay from a UX perspective is something where Bitcoin wallets need to get to be competitive with Apple tap to pay for the credit cards and debit cards, whatever it may be. And Callie has been working on implementing it into the Cashew protocol. And it seems like over the last week, he's got it up and running. I think this is massive win for UX and privacy, obviously, since this is utilizing eCash. It not only has the UX benefits of being able to tap to pay, but comes with better privacy as well.
No, tap to pay is fucking awesome, and it's great that we can use, and Cashew is awesome, but it's great that we get to use it to make Bitcoin payments that are pretty private. So he got this to work on Android and iPhone and across.
Yeah. This is big. Shout out to Callie.
Huge win. I mean, if anyone's ever used, like, I didn't use Apple Pay until like 6 months ago and my mind blew. It's so much better.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I held off for years. And then the first time I used it, I was like, I'm never, I don't bring my wallet places. It gets me into trouble sometimes.
It's so fucking good. And so we need that for Bitcoin. Like, that's what we're competing against. Like, people want convenience. It's the UX is fucking phenomenal. Like, you're not going to stand there fucking scanning a QR code. Like, you just got to fucking tap to pay.
Yeah. I get in trouble because I find myself not bringing my wallet places. I'm like, oh, I got my phone. I can pay. And I show up and they're like, we don't have that. I'm like,
you don't have an ID.
Yeah. I don't have an ID. I don't have a debit card. Like, you don't have Apple Pay? Join us in the 21st century. It's 2025. I'll be right back. I have to go get my wallet.
And the other thing that's interesting about Apple Pay that a lot of people don't realize is it works offline. So like if you're in a country that has bad cell reception, it still works. And that's why it's key here, because Cashew also works offline.
Well, because it always...
So we can have offline tap to pay Bitcoin payments is a fucking huge breakthrough.
Yeah, because it operates from the secure enclave on the phone. So it just needs your code or your facial recognition. And it's just all the information lives within the secure enclave, at least on Apple, on your phone. So it makes sense that you can do it offline.
Yeah, I mean, like the merchant is online, but the user doesn't have to be. So it's not like pinging a server or anything. So the UX becomes much better, especially in low bandwidth environments.
Yeah. So you like get into your secure enclave. Phone's like, all right, I saw your face. This information will be dispersed via NFC. Waves to the point of sale system offline. It works like in the, like when we were in Costa Rica in the jungle, terrible service. Like you could just boop, worked.
Everywhere in Costa Rica has tap to pay. Fucking crazy.
Everywhere in first world countries is somehow way ahead of the US on tap to pay.
It's incredible.
What other first world countries exist besides the US?
Ah, that's a fair point. Other tier 1B countries.
Oh, a place I would run into this problem, and they've since implemented tap to pay. Shout out to Cooper's Barbecue down the street. There are many times I like to get barbecue for lunch every once in a while. I'd go down there, not in my wallet. They're like, you can't pay. I was like, ah.
Do they have tap to pay eCash? Tap cash?
Not yet. But we'll get there. Well, you think, I mean... It wouldn't be hard to implement. You just need somebody to implement the Lightning.
The ROI for you is pretty low.
As a merchant?
No, for you as an advocate or an evangelist, it's just like it's a lot of time to get somebody set up on these things. I mean, maybe not this particular one, but I tried back when Ibex was doing their thing in the US, and I would go to my favorite restaurants and just be like, hey, you guys got to get on this. And it was just not a great return on my time.
No, you need the individual merchants to come to the conclusion that they would prefer to accumulate Bitcoin as opposed to fiat. That's going to take more time, but it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening. There are people all over the world. There's dozens of us deciding, hey, I want to accept Bitcoin as payment over the dollar. All right, JFK files. I'll let you go. You know I have thoughts. Well,
let's read the our boosts.
Let's see if we have any. Notes. People are complaining about
the OnlyFans portion.
Yeah, this is the OnlyFans portion.
Phil, will you please take your shirt off?
Yes.
For the freaks.
I've been waiting for someone to ask.
Holy fans, don't do it, girls. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
The internet's forever.
The internet is forever. Well, there was a lot of podcasts dropped this week. All right, we've got... Let me check. We've got one from a ride or die. Rabbit Hole Recap 348, The Gang Goes to DC. Pringle Mac, 44,444 sats. Fours across the board, palindrome boost. Life is short. Do things that matter. You both embody that sentiment, that's for sure. So you're always pumping great this advice. Up. Shout out to Matt and Marty, true gladiator, standing up for all us plebs in the belly of the beast. Bitcoin would not be as successful as it is without champions like you both. So chuffed and proud to call you both friends. Love you from the swamp rat that from down under. Heart, heart, heart. P.S. We are the swamp was a classic opening statement. We are the swamp.
I got a little shit for that comment on Noster.
Could you imagine when we're the swamp? When we're really the swamp and we have power and we're like militarily, we're siphoning off, we're putting a military perimeter around the pyramids to find the energy, and we're going after the remote viewers at the Getty Museum. That is a swamp I want to see.
Well, I mean, you know, it feels kind of swampy. It's like Eric Trump joining the Metaplanet board.
Yeah, that was
it's like pretty bad.
I mean, it's very, very choreographed, though.
Limit up.
If you've been to any of the Bitcoin magazine conferences over the last year, Eric Trump has been at pretty much all of them, and not shocking to me. Hopefully, David, Dylan, anybody over there, talk them off the world.
Simon,
talk them off the world Liberty Fi. Like, tell them the meme coins are bad. Like, tell them to walk away from that. Not worth it. Not great for the brand. Tell them to get away from the money button. Your dad's the president. You guys are billionaires. You're very successful in your own right, Eric Trump. You don't need to go into shitcoins, you know. Hopefully this advisory position for Metaplanet will be a two-way communication line where Dylan and Coke can talk some sense into it. But yeah,
I don't think he's gonna do any advising. I think it's just I think it's a back scratching move.
Yes.
I think it's pretty obvious exactly what it is.
And it immediately worked for Metaplanet.
Yeah, it was good for the stock.
Limit up.
Did it pump? Yeah. Did it pump?
Yeah. It was up 17%, something like that.
Japanese love the Trumps.
Yep. And Sachs is out there doing some heavy lifts in
UAE,
the Middle East right now too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they were coming to us. They're shaking hands and talking about policy.
Was it Matt Pines that compared Sachs to Kissinger meeting with?
I don't know. Did he? I've been woefully online, but I missed that one. Yeah. It is weird. It is weird. This is a tech podcast, so that's why I wanted to talk about Tapper. I didn't even think we're going to talk about Eric Trump. You know,
it just feels very swampy. I still brought it up, so still did the callback, so it made me think of it.
Yeah,
but I get it.
It is very egregious. Where it's just like, and I mean, this could foray well into the JFK files because President Trump and his family, like, you have a mandate from the American people to go and cut out the corruption and get things on the right track, and you're getting very distracted, whether it's World Liberty Fi trying to profit from your support of Bitcoin. And I had Mel Mattinson on earlier this week to talk about the economic policy. And I asked him, what is one of the external variables that could throw a wrench in the efforts of Trump and Bessent and others to get the American economy on the right path? And he said, our undying support for Israel and getting dragged into another Middle East war, because the Israel lobby donated a lot of money to the Trump campaign. Now it seems like we're saber rattling in the Middle East again, which I think is a terrible miscalculation. It's something that none of the American people outside of a small minority actually want. And JFK.
I mean, you kind of want boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Just in Egypt.
Yeah.
I don't want any kinetic war. I just want like a siphoning and a, hey, we're going to go see what's under the pyramids.
We'll take it from here. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take it from here. You Egyptologists have been gatekeeping for too long. We're just going to create a line. Nobody's going to get shot. We're going to bring food. We're going to have a nice talk.
This is an autonomous American zone right now.
Yes. We are checking the pyramids. I think it's much better than bombing Iran. If given the two choices, create a perimeter around the pyramids, much preferable to getting into a kinetic war with Iran and others in the Middle East.
Anyway, I distracted you. He wants to put boots on the ground in Yemen. Is that it?
He's already started bombing the Houthis, so but it's not really boots on the ground. It's more like bombs from the sky. But
yeah.
But didn't they say they're sending reinforcements or whatever? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I didn't see that.
But Yemen does not seem like the kind of country you want to go. It's like incredibly mountainous. I don't think you want boots on the ground in a
more cave wars. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't sound great to me. JFK files. Some of the information.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. That was brought to light. It seems like there was a particular member of the CIA who was doing some information sharing with Israeli intelligence, and I don't think there's any conclusive evidence of who exactly murked JFK in 1963, but there does seem to be some ties between.
I mean, I think that the CIA killed JFK.
Yes.
And Israel was probably complicit.
Yeah.
How much dirt does Israel have on every powerful person in the world?
Probably a lot. It seems like a lot.
Yeah. I haven't gone far enough down that Israel rabbit hole to really understand why they're so influential, but my initial thought is they must have created or gathered blackmail on some small number of influential people and then forced those people to bring them more blackmail on their powerful friends. It's the only way I can see that such a small nation could be so influential even today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Epstein, he was an acolyte or an underling of Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's father. Mm-hmm. He was very high
Mossad
up
ties.
In Israeli Mossad, and it is explicit Mossad protocol to leverage blackmail to gain influence over other other countries, other policies, and I said this with Mel too. It's crazy. Obviously, this is a hyper vitriolic topic. People call you an anti-Semite. You're attacking the Jews, but strip away ethnicity, religion, and just break it down to pure statecraft, intelligence agencies mingling and sharing information and doing counter sort of subversive techniques against each other to gain influence over populations, ethnicity, religion out of the way. Like, there's something going on here. Like, there is some statecraft that is happening. Intelligence agencies working together, working against each other, gaming each other to gain influence and in an attempt to project the will of one country or another. And I think, again, going back to what's happening in the Middle East right now, stay focused, Trump. Like, we need to fix the American economy. I don't think anybody wants to get in a Middle East war right now. I think the history of our Trump wars in the Middle East. What?
Trump kissed the wall, right? He flew over there and kissed the wall.
Yeah. A lot of people have. And Miriam Adelson, biggest donor. Others. Yeah. We just focus on the U.S.
Neocons are people, still pushing for more.
People are taking out payday loans to buy burritos here in the United States. We need to figure that out. We need to fix that problem.
Hey, but eggs are down like 60%.
People are taking out payday loans to buy burritos.
Sorry, it played on my phone. I'm on Zapstream.
Yeah.
But it was a good one to repeat anyway.
Priorities.
So Marty, first of all, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the internet is giving the CIA a little bit too much of a pass though on the JFK files.
Agreed.
Yeah. The CIA should be a bit like a completely leveled. The CIA should not exist.
Like, it's pretty obvious to me that the CIA was heavily involved, if not just completely did the hit. Like, they were super in with the mob at the time. They were incredibly powerful. There was very little oversight, and JFK wanted to shut them down, and then he got fucking killed.
Mm-hmm. And they had the ability to mind control.
They wanted to take down Cuba. JFK was secretly talking to Fidel and wanted peace and no embargo. He didn't want nukes in Israel. He didn't want to overthrow governments. He fired Dulles.
He didn't like the Federal Reserve.
Dulles comes in, investigates his death, and gets rehired. Like, it seems like it's... And then fucking Jack Ruby got just straight up MK Ultra in fucking jail after he killed fucking Oswald, who himself said he was a patsy.
Yeah.
Before he got killed.
Fast forward, RFK also gets killed by the CIA.
Yeah.
George Senior in there somewhere.
Was involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not great. Not great. Intelligence agencies running amok. And this is really what the deep state is at the end of the day. It's these intelligence agencies that persist from administration to administration over the course of decades, and they basically have a policy that they want to implement in the United States, and they do not care who is in office. These agencies run amok and do what they want. And whether it's the CIA or the FBI, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, CIA, plenty of information out there about originally back in the 80s funding Osama bin Laden and Mujahideen in Afghanistan. They literally funded them to fight Russia back in the late 80s, early 90s, and then that seemed to have backfired on us. Similarly, fast forward to
just this century.
Fast forward to this century. I'm pretty sure the CIA also helped fund ISIS rebels in Syria, and that bubbled up first in 2012, and obviously again this year. And you have a situation where those rebels that were funded by U.S. intelligence interest finally overtook the Assad regime, and now you have Christians being slaughtered across the country. It doesn't seem like the product of all of this statecraft by these deep state intelligence agencies is actually working in the benefit of anybody. American people in the Middle East. Very, very.
And there's some tenuous ties from the CIA to both of Trump's attempted assassinations as well.
Oh, that was the other thing. You mentioned it earlier. Like, talking about, like.
Well, the first one reeks.
Yes. Well, the first one, CNN had literally never covered a Trump rally over the 8 years since he started running. Literally never covered a rally. The one rally they decide to cover and shoot live is the one where he almost gets his head blown off.
The second one might have just been some
psycho
crazy person that was.
That dude was like recruiting people in Ukraine. That dude had some weird ties as well.
And he had.
But he's also just a fuck. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
He had supposedly no money and was taking 40-50 trips to.
The first guy got like completely memory holed, and like the only information we have on him was that he was in a BlackRock commercial.
He was a 21-year-old with no internet history. He got his immediately killed.
His entire place was scrubbed. He was.
He like had no forks, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he had no silverware.
He was just ordering DoorDash and just paying buy now, pay later.
And if you.
Plastic
if you
think silverware only.
There's been plenty of audio analysis. I think Chris Martinson from Peak Prosperity has done this. We had his name's escaped me. John Favreau. What was his name, Logan? Crazy guy talking about the asteroid. That's the Iron Man guy.
John Favreau. Yep.
Is this one your guess?
Not that guy, but another guy. Well, if you do the audio analysis,
I love how that's how you refer to your guests. Like, Logan, what was his name? We had him on the show. Crazy guy talking about the asteroid.
But the audio analysis, like, there was obviously more than one shooter.
Yes.
In Butler that day. And as you said, Matt, completely memory hold. It was this 21-year-old with no internet history.
And it was like literally the only place you'd shoot from. It was just like, oh, we're just in like an open field with like a single building, just like standing there.
And a guy with a giant bag and a rangefinder that's been up there for half an hour that we've decided not to.
Fucking crazy.
Not to contact. Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes all of this weird, what's going on. Like, the deep state tried to kill him. Or somebody tried to kill him. There's a series that was Ukraine.
Yeah.
A series that was Ukraine that was trying to kill him.
And like, particularly in the Middle East, like, do not do the bidding of the deep state that tried to kill you. If it was them that tried to kill you, like, do not want, like, I don't want to go to war with Iran or Yemen.
Like, we have a, or anybody we have a very loose mandate here at RHR. This is all relevant to Bitcoin under our mandate.
Yeah. Bitcoin, not bombs.
That's about it.
Bitcoin, not bombs.
I don't know if I think that meme probably aged pretty poorly. Now that we're the swamp, but we'll see how that plays out. I mean, we have like Bitcoiners. Someone on Noster memed this: private bank digital currencies, PBDCs. I kind of like that. I think it's a strong meme. But we have Bitcoiners launching PBDCs. We have president's sons joining Bitcoin meme stocks. We have like Bo Hines just like orchestrating shit.
What's he orchestrating?
Like a G.
He's just like, he's just been out there like, we're going to buy as much Bitcoin as we can. I'm like, I love this energy.
He's like, what do you mean how much Bitcoin? We're going to buy as much as possible.
I thought that
was on the ground in Giza.
I thought Bo Hines was like someone's kid or aide. He looks so young.
He's impressive. I don't know where he came from, but he's impressive.
I don't know.
But anyway,
didn't he run for office in North Carolina?
I don't know.
The
BPI guys speak very, very highly of him. Yeah. Behind the scenes, he's even more impressive, supposedly.
There was something happened in DC this week that I wanted to bring up. You go.
To bring it back to Bitcoin a little bit, even though this whole conversation has been obviously about Bitcoin, because we use Bitcoin as our money and we still live in the world. So all the other stuff is still relevant. Mataru is asking, why would anyone want to take a 15% loan on their Bitcoin? I think you have an on-chain loan. Why do you do it?
To fund the business and the carrying, so it's interest only. So the carrying cost is only the 15%, interest.
Right?
And you're basically, so I'd do business on air here if you guys are going to force me to, but I basically had a situation where it's like, do I sell this Bitcoin or do I think the price is going to rise over the course of the next year and I can just pay the carrying cost of the loan and hopefully use the proceeds of that loan to invest in the business to build more revenue to pay it off and not have to sell the Bitcoin. And that has played out. Took the loan out at a much lower price, have not had to sell the Bitcoin, and the carrying cost has been very easy to pay.
But depending on time, you can get fucking wrecked that
sure.
way.
Sure. Yes. Sure. But yeah. Even, no, like this is me having done this. I've taken loans out at terrible times and have white knuckled it through. But pattern recognition, battle scars, learning, timing of the taking out the loan is important. Good. Very good point.
You're better off taking out a 0% loan on a burrito.
Yeah, but true. You can't. Always. They're not going to give you as much money as Unchained.
But if your hurdle rate over the last 6, 7, 8 years is 60%+, 15, you know, that delta is still heavily in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, burrito is just like, it's like the life of a turkey. It's like it just immediately loses value.
Yes.
not an investment.
I remember what I was going to say. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this.
I guess you could DoorDash shelf stable food that like lasts like 10 years or something at 0%. That actually could be a good hustle. Can you get like canned goods on DoorDash?
You'd have a very upset DoorDash driver probably.
Yeah.
I might have figured out how to beat the system. Just ape into canned goods on DoorDash at 0%. And then you have an investment. You can just,
the DoorDash drivers have to hate this. You have to imagine if people are taking out the payday loans, they're not giving a tip.
They're not tipping. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I distracted you. What was
Trump?
What did you want to
Trump. He was at Blockworks. He gave the thing. Stablecoins, very big focus of the Trump administration. I think the idea that stablecoins can be this driver for long-term U.S. Treasury demand has been firmly planted
and the heads of the administration, and they are running full bore to get regulation around stablecoins, particularly via the Genius Act. And I actually think the Genius Act is going to be counterproductive toward their goal of driving long-term treasury demand. And that is because this Genius Act comes with stringent KYC AML compliance that will be thrust on these stablecoin issuers. And I think part of the value prop, particularly of Tether, is that it's very easy to spin up a wallet and receive Tether without KYC. And if the Genius Act gets passed and these KYC AML compliance laws go into effect and people, issuers are forced to thrust KYC AML on their end users, that demand for the stablecoins will go down. And the
will that be across jurisdictions? Like, let's say Matt was educating me on Tether on Tron yesterday and how big that is outside of the US. So would those KYC and AML requirements be everywhere or just in the US?
I think if you're playing in the US, they would I think it's like similar, like MiCA, right?
But they might do like a US subsidiary thing where the US subsidiary is Tether US has to comply, right. But there's a loophole for the Chilean taxi driver that's buying Tether on Tron.
But if you're an issuer that's holding treasuries, I think you may have to comply with it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I think that's part of the bill. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Anyway, this is like classic government bullshit. Do you know what the Genius Act stands for?
Yeah, I don't. The acronym.
When I looked it up. Like, Guiding and Establishing National Innovation for U.S. Stablecoins Act of 2025. The Genius Act.
Genius. It's a genius. It's actually not genius. Because again, it adds this KYC AML element. Which
it's the rise of the PBDCs. Everyone was scared about the CBDCs, and the most vocal people were Bitcoiners, and now we're the ones that are running the PBDCs.
Well, that's like, I hate that. I mean, I respect a lot of the people that are putting this out there, but I think I still don't see the connection between the embrace of stablecoins by the government and some of the broader Bitcoin community and its ultimate effect on Bitcoin. Bitcoin and stablecoins are distinctly different. Like, so the whole idea that like stablecoin regulation is somehow going to affect Bitcoin is like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Going back, the last point about why I brought up that topic of the Genius Act is that I think because of the KYC AML, it's actually going to force people into Bitcoin faster, because Bitcoin is something that you cannot do that to.
So I wrote about this on length on Noster, and you can read it at primal.net/Odell. And it's specifically about Tether, because it's really Tether and nothing else, right? Tether is the USD token of choice. It is successful by a long shot. They're fucking crushing it. No one's even fucking close. And yes, part of it is because they've been outside of US jurisdiction and they've been able to be more nimble. And I would say that I agree with you. If they have to increase KYC AML and the friction that comes with that, just from a pure friction point of view, it will hurt adoption. And part of the reason that they've been so successful is because people are able to effectively use dollars in a way that doesn't have all the friction and walls and limits that the US KYC AML regime has. Now, they've been threading a needle, right? Because they've onboarded the FBI and the Secret Service and stuff, and they'll freeze accounts per their discretion. But they don't actually do like explicit KYC on users. All that said, my guess is that probably doesn't happen. I mean, Palo's coming out strong right now. So I would be very surprised if like a Chilean taxi driver has to do KYC to use Tether. Like, they have, you know, Lutnick holds their treasuries. He's the commerce secretary. They have a shit ton of fucking money. They basically figured out a way how to sell American debt to, you know, a bodega owner in fucking South America. Paolo was literally in DC and said, Tether is the stronghold of the US dollar hegemony. So I think they probably have their foot in the door and will be able to navigate through this, however that works out. But from a Bitcoin perspective, the way I look at it is, yes, these things are PBDCs. You can think of them almost in the same light as CBDCs. They definitely do compete with Bitcoin on the short-term basis. Like, people are choosing to use Tether, specifically Tether on Tron. If you go to USD.cool, they have all the stats for Tether. And by far and wide, people are using it on Tron. They're not using Tether on Liquid. They probably won't use Tether on Lightning that much. They're not even using Tether on Solana that much. They're using Tether on Tron. And they don't have to trust Justin Sun or Tron to do that, because if something happens with Tron, Paolo can just send out a tweet and be like, we Snapchatted your balances. They're available on Solana now. So, like, Tron is not really part of the trust model. It's just cheap, widely available. Transactions are relatively frictionless. So that's why people use Tether on Tron. But it competes with Bitcoin in terms of someone sitting in Argentina and they're thinking about which digital money to use, and they're choosing Tether on Tron. Long term, it's still a US dollar token. It's not a stable coin. It's designed to dump forever. Like, it's you're going to lose all your purchasing power. It requires a trusted third party. You can't spend and save it without permission. So it's strictly a worse money than Bitcoin. Bitcoin will win long term. Like, it cannot compete. But short term, I think it does slow Bitcoin adoption. I think it was inevitable regardless, because people demand dollars. And if anyone's going to run a PBDC, it's best if it's Bitcoiners. And Paolo and Giancarlo and the rest of the Tether team they're actually Bitcoiners. You know, they've been around way longer than Saylor. And everyone fucking loves Saylor. And he's selling his equity to people with KYC or whatnot. Like, they're providing dollar access. And they're making a shit ton of money. And they're stacking Bitcoin with it. And they're supporting Bitcoin companies. And so, as we don't live in a vacuum, and given the situation, if anyone was going to run the PBDC, it's better than them than pretty much anyone else.
I can hear the conspiracy theories. Odell's been captured. He's been captured.
I've not been captured yet, but they know my address.
He is the swamp now. I'm kidding. I completely agree. And that's and there is a lot of confusion around the Genius Act. The Genius Act, if signed into law, not only will the KYC AML stuff come to light, but the what you're able to back your stablecoin treasury with, that's going to change. So I believe Tether will not be able to use Bitcoin as a treasury asset for backing Tether. And so they're going to have to shift their game. They should have brought her in. We've done this before.
I did a whole show where housekeeping was in the room cleaning.
We could have asked her if her family uses Tether on Tron.
Would not be surprised. They're going to have to change their treasury. So I believe they have gold, obviously treasuries, Bitcoin, and some other assets in the treasury. So they're going to have to rebalance that, I think, more heavily towards treasuries. Paolo's come out treasuries, and said that'll be pretty simple. And I think many people in the market don't understand that there's a difference between the backing of the stablecoins themselves, like the fund of the portfolio of assets backing the stablecoins to facilitate creation and redemption of Tether, and Tether, the company's Bitcoin treasury. Many people think that the company is going to have to dump its Bitcoin treasury, which is approaching 100,000 Bitcoin. Those two are separate things. You have the fund that actually backs the stablecoin to make sure that it has liquidity both in and out. And then you have Tether, the business, which has its own balance sheet, which they hold Bitcoin. That Bitcoin will be safe. The Bitcoin backing Tether itself, the stable coin, will probably need to be sold and replaced with treasuries, I would imagine.
Yeah, is it just cash and treasuries that qualify as cash equivalents under this?
I believe so. And yeah, because I think they have gold as well, backing the stablecoin. I think they're going to have to sell that as well. But it's weird because Basel III comes into effect later this year and deems gold as a tier one reserve asset. So maybe that changes in the future. But treasuries make more sense in terms of that's how they make their profits.
It's so counterintuitive because they're like basically the only full reserve bank in the world.
It is. Yeah, that's wild.
Tether. I mean, if you believe their audits, I think, I mean, their attestations for the Tether truthers out there. I believe they're going to do a big four audit. And I think the big four actually stopped them. Didn't want to do an audit for a while.
They've been trying to. They've been trying to do the big four, but the big four have been turning them down.
I think that's about to change.
And why is that? The big fours, some of their largest customers are the large banks who were very likely saying, no, you can't do this attestation or this audit.
But yeah, I mean, they're over collateralized. They're like way over reserved. They have, supposedly they have full reserves and then in addition have 100K Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the company balance sheet. Like the, and that's the thing. We've been talking about Tether for literally the entire existence of the show. And we've been saying it since the early days. Like they have Bitcoin backing the reserves. And if Bitcoin, Phil mentioned the CAGR earlier, like if you just have a portion of your reserves in Bitcoin and it does what it has done historically, they've been doing it since 2014 when Bitcoin was less than $1,000. You have to imagine that that portion of the treasury is well over collateralized to
compared to where it was. Can we shout out Bitfinex, who sold all this Bitcoin at $800 because he said Tether was pumping Bitcoin and was immediately going to collapse. And I believe he's still going.
He is. He hops into my Menchie's every once in a while.
That sucks for him.
That is another, like, I've never understood the Tether is driving the price of Bitcoin up. Like, if you, these people fundamentally don't understand how Tether is created. People literally send money to a bank account. Tether is created. That money is converted into treasuries and you can send the Tether over these networks.
Dude, and if Tether fucking collapsed, we would pump like a motherfucker because there's nowhere else to run.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Are you going to try and escape a collapsing Tether by selling for fucking Ripple? Like, no. You're going to do like what the North Koreans did and sell. Like, the North Korean hackers sold all their ETH for Bitcoin.
500,000 ETH for Bitcoin.
So many pesos into Bitcoin.
Yeah. Are we bullish?
Anyway, pour one out for that guy.
He's still going, man. He's still going.
Dude, I'm feeling incredibly bullish right now. I'm feeling incredibly bullish. Marty, before we sign off, there's a question in the live chat asking, why don't you just remote view into the pyramid?
I don't have the capability yet. I need to remote viewing takes practice. You can hone it. Yeah. I have talked to somebody who like tried to hone the skill of remote viewing and said they could do it. It sounds crazy. Go read the telepathy tapes.
It'd be crazy if Egypt like secretly just has like a massive energy resource that they don't even realize.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's decrepit. It's tens of thousands of years old.
So it doesn't work anymore.
I would imagine it doesn't. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe you go down there and the lever is just like shifted up. You just pull it down. It's like...
Dude, if there's a shit ton of power under the pyramids, there's going to be so many wars over there. Even more.
No. The whole thing... I mean, this is what Tesla was after. More of them. Yeah, it's like this is what Tesla was trying to... Tesla believed that this is what was happening. That's why he built his Tesla coils. And the idea is that you can just harness electromagnetic energy from the atmosphere and below Earth.
And they're at certain kind of waypoints throughout the world. That's why Tesla chose, I think,
Colorado
and somewhere up in the Northeast. And all of his docks just evaporated. I'd like for the CIA to release those.
Well, how did he die?
No, it's actually Donald Trump's dad has the docks or something like that. Or his grandfather. His grandfather was preserving the Tesla docs or something. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
what happens to them? Release the papers.
Yeah, we want those.
Yeah, do you think Epstein list will ever get released?
It's already out there. It's been out there for like...
Well, the flight logs have been out there, but his client list or, you know, all the video footage.
No, didn't what they released? What they released was like already had been online forever. It was
public, yeah.
What was the... I'm going to pull up this one. Everybody's like, yeah, we got it. And it's all redacted.
This is not redacted. Shout out to Marco Polo if you want to figure out what's in the Biden laptop report. Pretty good. I can't even show. I can't even show what's on these pages right now. It's so graphic.
Wow.
But the whole photo op.
Did you have a paper copy?
Oh, yeah. Gotta, I mean.
Who's Marco Polo? Is that the publisher or the author?
That's the 501(c) nonprofit that put this out.
How many pages is that?
This is.
Did you buy that?
No, it was good. I interviewed the guy who did this like 3 years ago before it was mainstream news, whatever. It is 600 and.
About to flash some shit that gets kicked off of YouTube.
It is 636 pages long.
Damn.
Yeah. Garrett, if you're out there, I'd love to have you back on the show. We need to do a retrospective. When did we do this interview? This is like 2023.
I think it was 2023. What's he into now?
You have to have the crazy asteroid guy on again.
I think he's I think he may be suing the previous admin because there was a lawsuits going back and forth.
Who, Marco Polo?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to wrap and hit the road.
This was a lot of fun. We should do coffee rips more often. We really, yeah. Really die. Phil, you need to come on more often.
Yeah. I would love it. Final thoughts. We've talked about the swamp a lot today, and I saw there was a trailer for the new Toxic Avenger coming out, starring Peter Dinklage as the Toxic Avenger. I think that'll be cool.
What's the Toxic Avenger?
It's
is like this Marvel thing, Universe stuff?
Kind of like that. No, I don't think so. Well, it might be. But it just rang through my mind as we were tapping back on swamps over and over again.
All right, go check out the movie, freaks. I kid.
I love you all. Stay humble, stack sets.
Hey, we're winning. We got a little off the rails here. Actually, we didn't get off the rails. We explored some topics, okay? Have a little fun out there. Yeah. Spring has sprung. We're in the age of Aquarius. Enjoy your weekend. Peace and love, freaks.